Good morning, Living Hope Wesleyan. Such a joy to be worshiping together this morning. I am so grateful that you are here worshiping today. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord and giving Him our praises, our worship, and the things that He is due because He is God. A number of things that we just want to do today, and that is just worship with our whole heart and give God all the glory that He is absolutely due. Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We have a number of these QR codes that are surrounding the church in different areas. We would invite you to utilize that today to especially if you're a visitor today, to use that code and let us know that you are here. Also, just want to remind you that if you use that code, you can also ask for prayer requests, and I can specifically be in prayer for you in that way, and I would just be honored to be able to lift you up in prayer. We have had a couple of busy weeks here at Living Hope Wesleyan, and I just want to remind you about a couple of those things. We've had some great opportunities to volunteer at Nixon Elementary for America Reads and for their trick or treat opportunity that they had this last Monday. So we're gonna show you a couple of quick pictures just to remind you about those things and that you and your volunteering and your church is making a difference in our community. So check out these pictures. Also, just want to remind you that this last Wednesday was our family fun night, and I tell you what, it was a ton of fun. We had a lot of people here at the church on a Wednesday night, from our littlest kids to our adults, and it was just a lot of fun. So we wanted to share some pictures with you of what's going on with that, so please watch this quick video and a recap.
this right. Chasing stars and holding view. I can't see the end, but we'll see it through.
Also, I just wanted to let you know that our program, our Hope Kids program, was collecting socks at the Family Fun Night. And can you guess how many socks we collected? If you guessed 50, you're low by a lot. We had over 226 pairs of socks. Wow, that is a lot of socks, and you can see them in the back hallway. And if you would still like to continue to donate to that, you certainly can. But these socks are going to be put out in our pantry, right outside of by the church here and by the mailbox for our neighbors. Sometimes people just need socks, and so we're providing those. We'll be giving those out during the winter season, and just a great way to bless our neighbors. And so we celebrate that, and we're excited about it. We also just wanted to welcome Mark Jenkins here today, Pastor Mark Jenkins, as he is going to be sharing the message for us today and God's Word. And we just want to welcome him and thank him for being in attendance today. It is so good for us to be here and to hear God's Word. And so let's pray, and then we'll invite Pastor Mark to the platform to preach for us and deliver his sermon. So let's pray together. Father God, we rejoice knowing that you are here in our presence. You are the Lord of all creation, and we thank you for the ways in which you have provided for us. You provided in so many different ways. You have protected, you have guided, you have led, and Father, you are a gracious God, full of great gifts for your children, and we are grateful for that. God, as we hear your word spoken to us today, may we just be overwhelmed with your presence. Holy Spirit, fill this place with yourself, with your presence, so that we may know that you, God, are the one that we lift up. And may we walk from this place being forever changed because of what you, Holy Spirit, want to do in our lives. What, God, you want us to look like as followers of your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we pray that your hand of mercy would be upon us today, that you would encourage us. We also pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon Pastor Mark as he delivers the message that you have entrusted to him today. So, God, we thank you for that, and we are grateful. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, and we lift up your name today. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Hey, I would guess from your Family Fun Night, I would guess the most popular thing was that donut eating thing. A fun twist to that we did at the camp for our men's thing, it'd be the fathers against the sons. And that adds a little twist to it. It's pretty fun. So you might think about that the next time you go. Although I did see a dad eating the donuts there, so... as Pastor said, my name is Mark Jenkins. I'm part of the Wesleyan Church in Charles City, the Bridge Church, and I work in the recovery ministry, Celebrate Recovery Ministry there. And as many of you might know me as the former director at Cedar Springs Camp, it's been 2 years now since I've been gone from that job. I had a heart attack. We'll talk about it a little bit later, maybe as we get going. But I know most of you are here not to see me, but you're here to see my lovely wife, Teresa. But she had scheduled 6 or 8 months ago a long awaited and well-deserved break from me. She's she's with her sisters down in the Des Moines area having a good time for a week. So she's out getting some rest while I stay home and take care of the yard, which I was telling Sherry I didn't do yesterday. I was out at the camp taking care of their yard instead. So. Anyway, it is good to be here with you this morning to share a message, and I want to share a message with you about really understanding what the song, we sang a song today, and I'm terrible about learning or remembering lyrics and stuff, but it talked about giving God our whole heart And everything that we do is about him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. But first, I have a story about the two hillbillies. The two hillbillies down in the south, they collect firewood every year for the store for the winter, right? You know, they all do that. They heat their houses and cook on during the winter. So they would always go out in the fall, weather like this, go out in the woods and do their wood cutting and come back. Well, and they were neighbors, you know, lived just down the road from each other. And the one neighbor got modernized. He went and bought a chainsaw at the local hardware store, and he's able to cut up a lot more wood than the old boy, still using the old thing, you know, the axe and the split maul and all that stuff, right? And he kept bugging him, you know, hey, you really ought to go down and check out and get one of them chainsaws. It'll sure make life a lot easier for you. Well, you know, finally one year, the guy with the axe said, you know what, I'm going to give that chainsaw a try. So he went down to the hardware store, and he bought himself one of them brand new steel chainsaws, right, and brought it back, and he showed his neighbor, and the neighbor's all excited. Oh, great. He says, you going to go out and try it? He says, yeah, I'm going today. I'm going to go out and cut wood. You know, it's bright and early in the morning. Well, long about dark, a neighbor sitting on his porch, because he's got all of his wood cut. Here comes the guy with the new chainsaw, and he has just got like three or four sticks of wood in the back of his truck. And he's looking at him, and he pulls into the yard, and he says, I've had it with this stupid thing. And he's all sweaty and wore out, and he says, man, I am tired. I worked all day, and I couldn't get this thing to cut hardly any wood at all. And the neighbor's sitting on porch, what? What are you talking about? So he said, let me see that thing, you know. So he turns on the choke, pulls it, and starts right up, you know, brum, brum. And the neighbor jumps back and says, what's that noise? Our lives sometimes are much like that poor guy that didn't know how to use the chainsaw. We struggle through life dealing with issues that we can't seem to overcome. We go through life just hoping to make it to the end. And finally, we give up and decide, you know what? I'm never going to change. I'm never going to be like Jesus. I'm just going to continue. It's who I am, and there's nothing I can do about it. We don't realize that we have the power of a brand new chainsaw right at our fingertips. Let's pray. This message, Lord, is not about me. I want it to be about you. And I ask that you would speak through me. And just if I say something wrong or dumb, just I hope it falls on deaf ears. But I pray that they would catch my heart, this congregation, to pursue you with everything that we have. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So my question for us today, a rhetorical question, is who am I? What or who do I identify myself with? And my first point is this: we are created as spiritual beings. We're created as spiritual beings, but we have fallen from God's presence because of sin, and we have died spiritually. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1 later on when we get there. So if you have a Bible or an app and you want to turn to it, you certainly can. But we need to understand that we are created in God's image. We are his image bearers. We are created in him for his glory. The Bible says that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That moment was more than a physical beginning of mankind. You see, God breathed his spirit of life into the man, and Adam became a spiritual being. He created us in his image, not just his physical image. We often wonder, does God have two arms and two legs? You know, what does he look like? We'll find out someday. But he created us not just in his physical image, as we often associate with this. He also created us in his intellectual image. We have the ability to understand our creator and his creation. The animal kingdom cannot do that. And we also, as I've said, have been created in his spiritual image. We have an eternal existence. We live eternally just as the Heavenly Father does. Again, the animal kingdom does not have that blessing. You see, God's deep desire from the very beginning was that we would dwell in fellowship with him. If you look up that Greek and all that fancy stuff, you see that fellowship means this close, intimate relationship. And he created us in his image so that we could have that fellowship. We would be fully known by him, of course, but he would also be fully known and understood by us. That's the way it was planned in the Garden of Eden. But of course, the fall changed all of that. That's why for the first time after they ate from the fruit, Adam and Eve felt shame and guilt, and they were afraid. They had never experienced those emotions before. You see, suddenly their understanding of the Creator had been corrupted. That human stinking thinking, that human nature came into their mind, and they began to think like human beings rather than the Creator. Satan did more than just trick Adam and Eve that day into spiritual or physical death. Because of their actions, our relationship with and the knowledge of God had been broken and corrupted. Now, we all know the rest of the story, right? Jump ahead a few thousand years, and we see that Christ came into the world to restore his creation and make us spiritually alive again, restoring that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Of course, we know that God the Father had a plan all along, didn't we? He would send his Son to the earth, and he would restore that creation and give us eternal life again, bringing us back into his relationship through spiritual life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But I hope you know that it's up to each individual person to accept that free gift in order to receive that spiritual life that Jesus has promised, that Jesus had earned for us. Jesus said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of both the water, that's your physical birth, and the Spirit, that's your spiritual birth. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we become alive spiritually, and we are reunited with the Father in that way. This is radically different lifestyle and radically different worldview than most of the people around us. I'm sure most of you work in the secular world. You see the difference. When I left the camp, I work now at a great company. It's run by some Christian folks, and the environment is great. I appreciate it. But it's still working in the secular world, and there's some people who don't know Jesus that we work with every day. And we are oddballs to them. I remember sitting in the break room, and one guy was talking about they go to Village Creek, which is up by Lansing, for their family camp, Village Creek Camp. And he says, "You're going to a place and be in church for a whole week at a time? What?" And it was like another planet to him. He could not comprehend it. And that's the way it is. But you see, the Bible's right. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We put to death those things of the world, the things of the flesh, and we live for Jesus. And that makes us very strange to the world around us. We are spiritually alive. We are a new creation because of that. And because of this transformation through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our relationship with God has been restored. In his book, Victory Over the Darkness, it's a classic. If you haven't read it, I really encourage you to do it, by Neil Anderson. I think it came out in the late 90s. In his book, Victory Over the Darkness, he says this: when we are in Christ, our soul comes back into union with God the same way Adam was in union with God before the fall. You remember Genesis? God walked in the cool of the afternoon talking with Adam and Eve. Our scripture text for this morning is in Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. We'll look at that in part, the first part in a little bit here, but the second part is pretty important to the case that I'm making today. He's talking about us being spiritually dead before we know Jesus. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions, but because of his great love for us, we are made alive in Christ Jesus. My next point is this. Christians struggle in their walk because we don't understand our position in Christ. Are you like me? I hear all these truths. I've preached them for years now. And I think, wow, that really sounds great. And I believe it. But most days, I'm not experiencing it in my own life, you know? I don't feel like it. Many days, it seems like just a struggle to sit down and read your Bible and connect with God. And we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is present within us and just waiting for us to have fellowship with. And we struggle with life because of that. Here's my problem. I don't know, maybe it's true for you, I don't know. I haven't paid attention and understood the whole gospel message. Anderson fleshes this out in his book, and I was really captivated by it. It's funny, that book sat on my shelf for 15 years, and after I had my heart attack a couple years ago, I decided I'm going to get that thing out and read it. And boy, was it ever eye-opening to me. In his book, he talks about, we love the first part of the good news. Everybody knows that. We have eternal life. Jesus, by his grace on the cross, has set us free from sin and death. And we have eternal life with him. But Anderson says, Christians forget God's work on our behalf begins right now. The moment we accept Christ, our eternal life begins. Christ said he would not leave us orphaned, didn't he? But he would give us a helper. He would be with us to the end of the age. That helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Paul talking, and he's kind of, I think it's the Corinthians, he's kind of speaking, hey, come on, wake up. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Why do you associate with the prostitute? That Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is our strength and our guide for this life, for this human existence. The moment we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and makes his dwelling in our hearts. It's not some future day that we will receive that blessing. It's not sometime after we've struggled through life and we finally make it into glory. It can be ours right now. So we have an incorrect perception of ourselves. You know what the Apostle Paul says when he's talking about believers? You know how he refers to us? He refers to us as saints. I come from the Catholic tradition. In fact, I just read a long article about All Saints Day, which is November 1st. And to them, you become a saint once you get into heaven and you're glorified. But that's not how Paul sees it, and that's not who we are. Paul talks about us as saints, even those sinful people that lived in the city of Corinth. He introduces his first letter by calling them saints before he tells them all the things they need to correct. Over 240 times in the New Testament, we are described as saints, we are described as holy ones, and we are described as righteous ones. We are not sinners struggling to be saints someday. We are saints who stray into sin. We focus on our struggles and putting them to death, right? That's what Paul says, right? On our own strength. We forget that we have at our disposal the power of the Creator. That brand new steel chainsaw. And it's right at our fingertips. For years, I have worked really, really hard. So hear that? I have worked really, really hard to be like Jesus. I knew all of the scripture verses, particularly from Paul, where he talks about put to death the things of the flesh. And it would go great, you know, speaking about, you know, foul language. Boy, I could control that for weeks at a time. You know, whatever sin you're dealing with, whatever sin I was dealing with, I could control that for a time on my own strength. But of course, I'd always end up falling back into the old ways. I am like the Apostle Paul. If you ever read Romans chapter 7, it's the do-do chapter. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I should do, right? And he's talking about his struggle with this human condition that he has. And he says, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? I pray that a lot. The problem is I don't realize it's the Holy Spirit, and he's ready right now, waiting for me to submit, to surrender everything to him. I forget the verses right after that. If you read on at the end of chapter 7 and into chapter 8, what does Paul say? Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In his book, Spiritual Warfare, Dr. Carl Payne says that too many Christians see the devil as this mighty foe whom we cannot resist, and so we have lost the battle before we begin. Oh, man, I tell you what, some of the things in my life that I'm dealing with now, just, and I, it might seem trivial to you, but this is what God is working on in my, just negative thoughts about people. You know, those, the guy that was so shocked that I'd spend a whole week at church camp, right? You know, I don't have a lot of things in my mind that are positive to say about Todd. And I'm working on that, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to love him. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love keeps no record of wrongs, right? And it's a battle, and we think that we've, and we think with those negative thoughts about people, we think that, oh man, I give up. And Dr. Payne says that's a mistake. He says Ephesians chapter 6 and everywhere else in Scripture gives us the full armor of God. It talks about the winning strategy to defeat this battle, to win this battle. So that's my last point today. We are victorious. We can live a victorious life over the sin that so easily entangles us. That victorious life is lived through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Anderson really challenged me on this. So I'm working really hard at camp, trying to create this ministry that would bless God and bless me. And God basically spoke to me, said, Mark, you are putting your faith in yourself and that ministry that you're doing, not in me. And all of this caused me to think about and process all of this stuff. And I'm reading Dr. Anderson, and he says, we have been saved, forgiven, and have eternal life, but we also have victory over the devil. We can defeat the sin that so easily entangles us. We can win those battles over our thoughts. My problem comes from the fact that I skip past the part of the Holy Spirit doing the work, and I try to do it myself, right? For years, I've been in an effort to do that on my own strength. I knew all the verses, like I said, put to death the things of the flesh, and sounds like something that we should do, right? I mean, when you read Paul, man, it sounds like something I've got to do. But the battle has already been won for us at the cross. We cannot overcome these challenges of our flesh and the devil unless we apply the whole gospel message, that victory that we have over Satan. If you are in Christ, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we forget that. So we live this life through our flesh. So we live life as though our flesh and Satan's temptations are so powerful we can never overcome them in this life. We just have to hang on until we can get to heaven. Ever think that way? But Satan is not the master of our fate. We are. And as I said, the last 3 years, let's see, 2021, 2 years, It's been a whirlwind of discovery for me and spiritual growth. Listen, I got saved in 1995. I began ministering in church right away in the youth group and then studied to be the minister, got ordained in 2007. I know all of this. And I'm still trying to do it on my own strength. And I'm realizing now, God got me, got my attention. By the way, don't wait for God to get your attention. It can be pretty painful, you know. I'm going off script here. Just hang on, guys. It can be pretty painful, but God uses pain. C.S. Lewis says, pain is God's megaphone to your heart. And he wants to get your attention. Well, he got my attention. And I'm learning a lot of things. Dr. Anderson talks about the devil and who he really is. Do you know what James says? The Apostle James, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ponder that for a moment. The devil, if you just speak the name of Jesus when you're tempted or quote a scripture verse, the devil has to flee from you. What does that mean? Do you remember 9/11? Those of you that were alive back then, do you remember the video when that second tower came crashing down from street level? What were the people doing? They were fleeing. And that's what Satan has to do when you call on the Holy Spirit to fight against him. We don't have to lift a finger. All we have to do is invite the Holy Spirit to do the battle for us. And we can have victory over those thoughts, over those feelings, over those actions. It works. I'm learning. I haven't got it all figured out yet, guys, but it works. It works in our lives. My prayers have changed. I don't pray, God, give me the strength to stop swearing anymore. I pray, only you have the power to change me. Holy Spirit, you know, transform me, renew my mind, Holy Spirit. And so that sin that so easily entangles me doesn't catch me off guard anymore. I reject the thought. I reject the action. I don't do it all the time, but I'm working on it. Practice makes perfect, right? And I claim the victory that I have in Jesus' name. And oftentimes I'll throw a scripture verse at the devil just for good measure. You know, the scripture verse, this is the sword of the Spirit. It's our offensive weapon. I'm memorizing a lot of verses, like in 1 Corinthians, you know, love is patient, love is kind. I'm learning to see people as Jesus does. So do you know what I've been doing? We have been cutting, you know what we've been doing? We've been cutting wood, that is the sinful nature within us, with a dull axe, when we have a brand new steel chainsaw sitting in our garage, and we don't know how to use it. Do you want freedom? Do you want the freedom of that victorious life that Jesus promises all of us? I do. And I'm straining now. I'm learning to give him everything. And it's tough, you know, surrendering the camp. What I thought I was created to do, I said that all the time, didn't I, Mark? Mark's sitting back there. This is the job that I was created to do. And surrendering to Jesus means surrendering everything. Only then can the Holy Spirit work in our lives. I'm learning to walk in the Spirit. I've preached this verse before, you know? And now I understand what he's saying. So I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I am learning to stop struggling not to do wrong and to start focusing on what I need to do right. And that's just focus on the cross. Okay, so let's read some scripture. Now that I've had my say, let's see what God says. First, or Ephesians chapter 1, And I'm going to start in verse 17. I'm just going to read a section of this. Now, if you know the Apostle Paul, he's long-winded, and you got to figure out where you're going to divide the page because it's all one sentence, okay? But you just work at that, and you figure out, and we're going to jump right into the middle of his thought. He's talking about how God has set us free and all of these blessings and promises that Christ has given us. And I want to start in verse 17, right in the middle of the thought, because it's what he's doing. And actually, I have converted this segment of scripture, changed the pronouns into a prayer for myself, and I've got it on my phone. That's one of the things that's helping me. I hate devices, but I have this note in the notes section, and it's the scripture for the day. In fact, I was going to look one up for today. And I have taken and I have written this in changed it for me. But anyway, let's read verse 17. I'm going to read down probably through verse 21. And if you really want to get the gist of this, you really need to read most of chapter 2 as well. But So Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, don't be confused. This is a great example, by the way, of the Trinity. We believe in a triune God, three specific persons with that are all equal but have different purposes, okay? The Father has the plan, the Son carries it out, and the Holy Spirit sustains it. That's how I've realized it, learned it. Maybe that'll help you. So when he talks about the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about the Father, and through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has given us this plan. I pray that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better, that is, know Christ better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know. I'm going to stop right there. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened. Do you watch The Chosen? You either love it or you hate it, you know, and if you hate it, that's okay. But over and over again, they emphasize a phrase that's throughout the Bible. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. Those who have eyes to hear, let them hear. That comes from the prophet, the Old Testament prophets, when they are preaching at the Israelites who are hard-hearted and refuse to see the truth. And here, Paul is praying that the eyes of our heart would be open to hear the truth. And that's my prayer. I pray, take my truth away, God. I want to hear your truth. Okay, back to what we're talking about. He's praying that he would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may not know the hope to which he has called you. Do you realize our hope in an eternal heavenly existence is not some fleeting hope like, gee, I hope the Cyclones can quick run down and score another touchdown last night. That hope is so fleeting. That's not the hope that Paul is talking about. Hope is an assurance. You know it's going to happen. And I know that I have an eternal existence with my Heavenly Father in heaven. And he wants us to know that hope. Because when we know that hope, then we will become aware of the next thing, which is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. There we are. We're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Creator. And finally, he prays that his incomparably great power will be known to us, that we will understand God's incomparably great power. Now, get this, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. God the Father raised Christ from the dead, and that same power is available to us. Can we defeat Satan, who's already been defeated by Christ? Of course we can, if we follow the right game plan, if we read the manual and understand how that chainsaw works. Okay, so he exerted that, and he lifted Christ up and seated him with him in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, far above, not just this much above Satan, but far above Satan. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present, but also in the one present age, but also in the age to come. That is the power that we have available to us to walk victoriously in Jesus' name. Powerful living, power for living victoriously, it's right at our fingertips. Right here. If you read on in this letter, by the way, in chapter 2, you will see that Paul goes on and he says this, the first part of chapter, and clear in the first part of chapter 3, God raised Christ up, or excuse me, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That's why when he's talking about another passage, we are baptized with Christ and we are raised to him, raised with him in victory. So I hope I'm getting your attention. I hope you feel the way I do. You know, I know I struggle in this life, but I want to walk victoriously. I don't want to let the cares of this world drag me down anymore. And yes, there's trouble all of us, all around us. Jesus said there in this world, you will have trouble, but don't be afraid because I have overcome the world. So these are just, I hope this helps. I don't know. I got three things here. Yeah. Three things I think that I'm doing that I've started doing recently. And I've already talked about them. I am learning to, I'm realizing the need to yield my will to his. In Celebrate Recovery, it's one of the first steps. You have to come out of your denial, realize that you're sinful, that God exists and he has the power to help you. And then you have to yield your entire being to him in order to have victory over your hurts, habits, and hangups. It's the same message for all of us. Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, you ready? Three things. They must die to themselves. They must pick up their cross. What suffering do you have to deal with in this life? This morning coming down, because I'm driving on the gravel roads, my rear windshield was all covered in dust, and I got there at Casey's. Of course, it's all frozen because I live in the Northland, right? And I couldn't get that rear windshield clean. Boy, that's my struggle in this life. Isn't that terrible? We all have crosses to bear in this life. And you know the pain. And it distracts us, and it takes our focus off of the one who carries that cross for us. So we've learned to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. It means do what he says. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. If you want to know what Jesus, how Jesus wants you to live, just read those three verses, or those three chapters. It is the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in a nutshell, it's how he wants us to live our lives. I keep asking the Holy Spirit to keep the door open of my heart, holding nothing back so that I can follow him the way I should. Psalm, this is one of the scripture verses that I have. I should memorize this. I think I know it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way within me and lead me in the way of everlasting. That's Psalm 139. And I have it right here because I need to remember that. The next thing I've been doing is I need to forget the things of this world. And boy, is it ever hard. I'm getting a lot better at sports, at football. You know, I used to place my self-worth in whether my team would win or not. And boy, when you're a Cyclone fan, that doesn't come very often. So you usually walk around defeated. Hey, you know what? They've won 5 games this season. It's a winning season, right? But I'm learning to let the things of this world go because they're just passing away, folks. And we have to learn not to get wrapped up in the stuff of this world. I'm not... It's easy for us as Christians to work on putting the bad stuff away, but there's a lot of stuff that isn't necessarily bad that keeps us distracted from doing what we should be doing. Like, it's my wife's fault, by the way, because she's got those faith-based channels, and, you know, they all have murder mysteries on them. And we will watch them, or we pull up the old shows and watch Remington Steele for 2 hours at night when we should be reading our Bible and talking with each other about Jesus, right? Those things aren't bad, but are they distracting you from what's really important? And boy, I'm really getting convicted by some of that stuff lately. Listen, God wants us to have joy and peace in this world, and you can do that. And Teresa and I have a lot of fun watching those old shows. We remember them from when we were young, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I can't take my focus off of that cross. I just got to keep thinking about that. You know, and John, boy, I got to get going here. Just John 1, 1 John. The letter of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, it is really painful to read. Let us offer ourselves entirely to knowing God. The more we know him, the more we will desire to know him. That comes from Brother Lawrence, a monk that lived in a monastery, so he didn't have any other stresses in the world, so he could write stuff like that. Did you catch that? Let us occupy ourselves entirely in knowing God. The more we know him, the more we will desire to know him. I have found that statement to be true. The more you read and pray, the more you want more. It's pretty fascinating. Anyway, 1 John 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, what we see, the eyes, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but he who does the will of the Father lives forever. Finally, I'm doing this. I am studying his word. I'm spending more time focusing on that. I hate devices, but you know they have an audio Bible? So I can put my earbuds in, you know, and just, my daughter was making fun of me. She still works at the camp, and we were doing fall cleanup, so I had my earbuds in, and she says, who are you talking to? Well, I'm repeating the scripture. Listen, I am not bragging. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you what works. I don't have this all figured out. But I know it's working. I want you to experience the same thing that I'm experiencing, the joy of the Lord for really the first time in my life, really communing with him. Anyway, spending time in his word. You know the verse, right? Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray that you'll believe that and that you'll chase after Jesus with everything that you've got. That's my only purpose in coming here today. Let's pray. I do thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for help. You know, it's fun to be with family. I know these people. I know these guys for many years now. And it's fun just to share my heart with them. And I pray that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear. And that they would understand that they need to surrender everything. May we all learn that we can glorify you, that we can live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse us of doing wrong, they see our good deeds and they glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.